Hello everyone, wishing you all a very happy and a prosperous 2023. We are back with a new season of the podcast. I'm Shruti Kamath, your podcast host. Welcome to season 2 of Stories of InfoSec Journeys. I know it's been a long time and I've missed you all. The Spotify podcast wrap for 2022 looked very promising, and I would like to take a moment to thank you all amazing listeners for all the support and love, and hoping that season 2 will receive the same support. I'm really excited to bring to you all some amazing stories and journeys of some of the finest InfoSec professionals this season. In case you're new here, I would highly recommend you listen to the introduction episode. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook and LinkedIn at Stories of InfoSec Journeys, and on Twitter at InfoSec Journeys. Our first guest for season 2 of the podcast is Abhay Bhargav. He's the founder and chief research officer of AppSec Engineer, an elite hands-on online training platform for AppSec, cloud-native security, Kubernetes security, and DevSecOps. AppSec Engineer delivers hands-on security skills that companies are looking for. He created some pioneering work in the area of DevSecOps and AppSec automation, including the world's first hands-on training program on DevSecOps focused on application security automation. Abhay is a speaker and trainer at major industry events, including DEF CON, Black Hat, and OWASP. His trainings have been sold out at various security conferences. He's authored 2 international publications on Java security and PCI compliance as well. Welcome to season 2 of the podcast, Abhay. In your own words, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, everyone. First of all, I'm very happy to be here, and a very good initiative by Shruti. My name is Abhay, and I run 2 companies. The company that I actually work on more now is a training platform called AppSec Engineer. We deliver training on AppSec, DevSecOps, cloud security, Kubernetes security, and so on. And really, that was born from my first venture, which is a security consulting and AppSec company, which is called V45. And there, we do a whole bunch of security services and things like application security testing, threat modeling, so on and so forth. So that's really where I come from a professional background. And through both these companies, I've had the ability to actually kind of see different viewpoints of application security, especially as people, the problems that people see, the problems that they face, the issues that we need to solve in the application security world. So that's really where I come from.
All right. Thank you for that quick introduction about yourself. So I'm not very sure about what your journey has been like, right? So do you want to share, how did you get introduced to InfoSec, and was that an accidental thing or was it a conscious choice? How did the journey look like?
I think with most security professionals in India, I think information security would be pretty accidental. A lot of us, at least some of us, some of the old folks, and I consider myself one of the old fogies in this space, I think we've had an accidental, and especially I've had an accidental discovery or accidental intro into InfoSec. So the journey really started, I was pursuing my CPA, which is basically the equivalent of the CA in the US. And I really had nothing to do with information security. The only thing that kind of bound me to information security at that point was the fact that I used to be deeply into IT. So my dad used to have a whole bunch of Tally training centers. So Tally is a very popular accounting software in India, for those who don't know. And my dad used to run a lot of Tally training centers across Bangalore. And I used to manage the IT of those places. So networking and malware and all of those things was typically things I had to handle. And I had to handle across multiple centers. So I was always good at it. So I handled multiple malware outbreaks at our centers, because it's computers, people just plug anything into it, and it used to be a huge problem. So I used to always be very interested in dealing with IT issues. And even when I got into CPA or studying for finance and stuff like that, I was interested in something at the intersection of business and IT, and at least in more I would say business audit and IT. And I think I was really looking for something in IT security or IT audit or something like that. At that time, I just finished my CPA and I was thinking about what to do and what should I pursue and things like that. My mother got a call from a company, and this the CEO of this company called her, and my mother incidentally is a soft skills trainer, and she got a call from this company who was a CEO of an information security company. And this person said that he wanted a whole bunch of his employees trained on soft skills and etiquette and things like that. So when she heard the term information security, kind of bulb went off in her head, and she was like, "Why don't we meet him?" And she told me, "Why don't we meet him?" And then a few days later, I met him, and actually, I got a job in his company. And from there, I started in information security. I started with PCI compliance. I used to do a lot of work in PCI compliance, but I realized that AppSec was more my speed. And I really liked AppSec more, so I kind of got into AppSec, started the company, of course, from there.
Wow, that's a very interesting turn of events that happened, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you spoke a little bit about what you've been working on currently, right? Do you like want to like elaborate or share something with our listeners so that if they have anything, they want to reach out to you?
Sure. So one of the things that I think is not a mystery anymore is that we have a huge cybersecurity skill shortage, right? I think not only in India but globally, especially if you look at the Western countries, if you look at the US, Europe, wherever, you see a huge shortage of skilled security professionals. And this is, I think, a little bit more aggravated in application security, simply because application security is still kind of newish, even though it's not in, I mean, for I think you and me, it's not new, but for a lot of people, application security is still kind of breaking new ground. And now application security has kind of become, is evolved into so many other things. People have to deal with cloud, people have to deal with Kubernetes, people have to deal with threat modeling, security architecture. They have to deal with a whole bunch of connected tangential areas. So one of the issues that we saw, especially in 2019 or so, was that there's this massive skill shortage, and the problem with addressing that skill shortage was training, right? And unfortunately, training at that time, I realized that there were very few things you could do, because either you used to learn only how to pen test, that is pen test, pen test, pen test, figure out how to hack things, get bug bounty, et cetera, et cetera. There's enough avenue for that, obviously. There are lots of avenues. One of the things that we used to do at that time and still do was we essentially used to train at places like Black Hat, right? Black Hat, we've trained at, we continue to train at every year. We have multiple Black Hat events that we train at. And of course, Black Hat is not cheap. Everyone who pays to attend a Black Hat training is minimum paying about anywhere between $3,000 to $5,000 or even more. And of course, this is not counting, stay and so on and so forth. So we thought that, you know what, we are bringing all of this stuff, this education in terms of defensive security, hardcore implementation of things like cloud and DevSecOps and all that stuff, we're bringing to conferences like Black Hat. Why not create a platform where someone can access all of this at a much more affordable price point? So this is make it for the everyone, right? For everyone who wants to get this education, who wants to get hands-on labs, who wants to skill themselves up, get a better job, or within an organization itself, skill their existing people up to ensure that they meet the demands of the skill shortage. So that's why AppSec Engineer was created. So AppSec Engineer is really all about how you can get hands-on implementation expertise in defensive security, especially in AppSec cloud security. All of that through hands-on, right? The idea is that you should not just know it by watching some silly video, but you should actually be able to do it, configure it, set it up, break it, check whether it's actually working, and so on. So that's the idea. And AppSec Engineer addresses that. And we're happy to say that we're about a year and a half now, and we've really had some a great reception. People have really loved us and really started doing great things with it. So I'm really happy to see that panning out as well.
All right, I think I'm going to share this in the episode description as well, just in case anyone wants to reach out to you. So, are there any communities that you've been associated with, and is there anything specific you love about them?
I think the Indian information security community, I mean, OWASP is a community that I'm quite keyed into. So OWASP, I think in India is quite active, and I think it's good because India creates software for the world, and I think Indians create software for the world. So it's very important that India and Indians understand and appreciate application security. So I think this is a community that I'm very keen into. I have also started to be a little bit more keyed into the CNCF community, but not so much. Again, I'm not so much of a community builder person, but I contribute more in terms of my time, my, you know, maybe some technology. And in fact, we had a tie-up with OWASP till recently, where they had OWASP members had access to AppSec Engineer, you know, for free as some materials in our platform for free. So that's how I have contributed to most of these communities. I talk in a lot. Wherever I go, I typically speak at an OWASP event. So recently I was in Belgium. I spoke at OWASP Belgium. I generally make it a point to reach out to the OWASP chapter leads in that place and say, hey, you know what? I'm here. Anyway, here I can talk about this if you'd like. So I generally end up doing that, and that's also improved my life quite a bit because I learn a lot of new things, meet a lot of people. So that's helped quite a lot.
All right, all right. So I'm just curious to know, you mentioned that you have like two companies that you've been running, right? So what has been your experience of running an InfoSec company?
Okay, I mean, I think we'll need a few days to go over this,
Yeah, maybe you can just summarize it for
yeah, no, sure. I'll try and keep it short. So see, the thing with me was that I started V45, my first company, at age 22. So I was kind of clueless about anything. I did have a background in business. My father is self-employed. He was a businessman. So I did work with him for a while. So I've been working since I was like 15 years old. So I understand business. But then again, working in someone else's more established business versus working in your own business is a completely different ballgame. So when I started V45, this was in 2010. And V45 at that time, we were focused on apps and especially application security. So we decided that we didn't want to be anything but a security company. So at that time, we just wanted to be an information security company. We didn't want to do development and all that stuff. A lot of people do multiple things, but we didn't feel we should do those things just for the sake of doing those things. So we started off with information security. And the thing with that was we scored our first client within 2 days. And it was amazing. It was like, oh yeah, this is so easy. This is super chill. This is not difficult at all. We started, we put up shop, and 2 days later, there's a guy who is willing to give us money for some work we do. And yeah, we did that work, and turns out the next client took a while. The next client took a while to come because, you know, we had to figure out marketing, we had to figure out. And at that time, 2010, even though a lot of people would think, oh yeah, 2010 is not too long ago. It was long ago in terms of maturity, people understanding what application security is in the first place. So 2010, it sounds like it is not too long ago, but it's a long time. So you should think of it. You should think of our security evolution in dog years. I think it's kind of like double the pace. So that's how we started. And we slowly picked up. We started doing a lot of work both in India and outside India. So India and the Middle East, we used to do a lot of work, especially in the UAE and different parts of the Gulf. So a lot of application security work, a lot of penetration testing work. We dabbled in compliance also for some time, like PCI compliance and ISO compliance. They realized that we really hated it. We decided to not do compliance around 2014 or so. So we decided, you know what, let's not touch compliance. And 2014, 2015, I would say, was a turning point for us because we were, I think, the first company in the world to latch on to this whole DevSecOps thing. So what I did was I'm a big automation guy, so I'm lazy. So naturally, automation is naturally, you know, something that I kind of get. So for me, I used to think that hey, there has to be a better way than this pen test stuff and constantly, because one of the problems that customers used to have was, yeah, we pen test. We pen test 2 months later, same issues or just issues plus a few more issues. Nothing would ever get fixed. And they were also tired of it. They were like, you know what? When do we ever get ahead of these issues? Can we do something to get ahead of these issues at all? Is it possible? And to be honest, I used to not be able to, I used to not respond very clearly because I myself didn't have to. But then this whole DevOps thing, I think for me started kind of marinating my brain around 2014 or so. I started to see the rise of things like Chef and Ansible and Puppet and all that stuff. I'm like, hey, why not do this for security? Why not kind of build this in? So that's when we started doing a lot of work in DAST, right? So we started to do, we used to take these scanners like Zap and use the API and pull it in and do static analysis, automate static analysis, push it into a Jira. And we started doing a lot of this stuff. And that actually led us to create the world's first DevSecOps training. And we trained at AppSec USA in DC. And that was a huge thing. That was like a massive sold out event. And we had like 60 people in class. It was a pretty nice, for an OWASP AppSec event that was huge. So that kind of became our identity. So we started to see a lot of work in DevOps, and we used to do DevSecOps very differently because we used to do pen testing, we used to combine it with automation services and so on. We actually even built a vulnerability management tool that a lot of customers still use even today. And at the same time, we saw the rise of a parallel line of business for us, which was training. So training started to become a pretty big deal for us. And I love training personally because it used to be fun. It's training people, talking to people, doing all these labs and things like that. We were very famous for labs. So we started doing all of these things, and that became a pretty huge area of focus for me personally. So I really loved doing it. And yeah, so that's really, we started doing that 2018. We got selected at Black Hat. We started doing training at Black Hat. And of course, 2019 is when we started to put together this product, and it took a while. So we had to make sure that we still don't lose this in-person experience, the lab experience, and still put it on a online platform, and people should be able to figure it out without any instructor, without any trainer. That was a pretty big thing. So I think my journey so far has been, and I've been bootstrapped all this while, not taking money from VCs and things like that. So thankfully, I've had the independence to do pretty much whatever I wanted to do. You know, good, bad, and ugly, whatever decisions I've had to take. It's been something that I've been able to do independently. So it's been fun. I think India, I think from a tipping point standpoint, I think India is poised for a lot of information security growth, I think, in the next 10-15 years, because we have our own. Earlier, we used to be working for companies who are elsewhere, right? So India would largely be the back office for companies, banks and retailers and all of these folks who are elsewhere. But India today has its own startups, it has its own product companies, it has its own domestic demand. And if regulation hopefully catches up and you know, breach disclosure laws and all of these things become a reality, then I think the Indian information security market is poised to explode in the next 10 to 15 years, hopefully.
Yeah, there's been a drastic growth in the tech industry, I think, in India in the last few years. So yeah. I won't be surprised if that's going to be the case. Good to know that we are all, like, you know, on the right track.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a sunshine industry. That's what I tell everyone. You know what? If you're not happy doing IT or, you know, let's say any other area of IT, just learn security. Just learn some decent amount of security to get your job, and your career will not be wanting for anything for the next 15 years and 20 years, whatever, even further perhaps, but at least for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
You have a pretty hard career. Don't worry about it.
All right. Okay. So this season we started something called like the rapid round questions. Okay. It's more like a one-liner Q&A thing that you can answer. So let's get started. So if not for InfoSec, then which profession would you have chosen and why?
Historian, because I like history a lot, and I like writing about history. I definitely would have done something like that. And I think I want to do that after I get out of InfoSec. So because I don't think I can do this forever. I think I have maybe 6 or maximum 10 years of this in me. And then after that, I'm going to just become a writer, just become some armchair intellectual. reading history books and writing about it.
Good luck with that career for
I
you.
hope so.
All right. So, what's that one thing you love and dislike about Infosec?
One thing I love about InfoSec is that literally anyone has a place in InfoSec. It's actually a highly in-demand meritocracy. So you really have anyone of any caste, creed, sex, gender, whatever, anything, you have a place in InfoSec, and you can have a thriving career in InfoSec bar none. The bad thing about InfoSec is that InfoSec is naturally an agent of friction. So the problem with InfoSec is that it's an agent of friction, right? So when you are telling somebody that, hey, you messed up this way and it's insecure because of that, you are not going to win any favors. So one of the things that I always tell people to do, in fact, in my own company and even outside, is you have to understand that you are serving developers, you are serving IT organizations. So you cannot go with this, hey, you made such a stupid mistake. Look at that. You're not in basic input validation. How stupid are you? No, that's not the mindset that one has to cultivate. That doesn't endear us to anyone. We are already agents of friction. So you have to figure out how to make things and how to get people working cooperatively together. So that I think is the thing I don't like about InfoSec, but it's very corrective, right?
Yeah, I think I've seen some discussions around this where there's always a friction between the dev teams and the security teams. So I agree. All right. So what is your source of motivation that keeps you going?
I'm naturally super curious as a person. So for me, and technology is my subject of curiosity. So I'm constantly reading up new things. And as soon as I read up new things, I want to build something new. And that has led me to do whatever I do. So that's my motivation. My focus is that I just like new things. I'm curious about, oh, what is this? And I go down this rabbit hole, 5 layers down this rabbit hole, 10 layers down this rabbit hole, and I figure out something. And that leads me to something very interesting. And I build something on it. I build a lab, I build some train, I build whatever. And it helps a lot. And it helps other people also, thankfully, in my position. I use that to help build training, and that helps a lot of other people as well. So yeah, that's my motivation.
That's a very interesting motivation to have because it constantly keeps you on your toes.
It's also a huge pain, but unfortunately you can't turn those senses off.
Yeah, true. So, what are some of the latest trends that you have seen in InfoSec?
Okay, yeah, this is another at least day-long discourse that we can have, but I think some of the trends that I think will happen, or I think I'm seeing. See, this cloud thing is real, right? The very fact that organizations, companies like FedEx are planning to turn off their data centers and go no mainframes by 2024. Companies like FedEx, which has probably invested billions of dollars in IT in the 70s, perhaps, is now going all in on the cloud. So this cloud thing is not going away, right? So I think what is going to happen is we are going to see more and more breaches on the cloud. And those breaches are largely because of configuration issues, largely because people are not aware. And the other trend is that a lot of cloud projects are going to fail, right? Because Gartner said this, and I think I agree with them, that cloud projects tend to require people who are extremely knowledgeable as builders, right? Builders are very important because you need to understand it's not just about taking an app in a server and dumping the same app in a server on the cloud. That doesn't work like that, right? You need to think about it as a very strategic, and it is a combination of both strategic and tactical moves that you need to make when you're going onto the cloud. So you need people with the builder mindset, even in security, by the way. So even in security, you can't just recruit pen testers. You can't just recruit offensive security, red teamers, pen testers. You need security engineering. You need builder mindset security folks to do this. So I think that trend is, I think, going to be a pretty important one because a lot of companies are going to discover that they don't have these people don't exist. They just don't exist today. And they need to be built up within organizations. They need to be built up in schools and colleges and universities all over the world. This is going to be a thing that I think will make a huge difference. I think the second trend that I'm seeing is, again, I know I'm probably going to sound like a broken record when it comes to this, but like many other people have said, but I think AI in security, while so far I thought of it mostly as, yeah, you know what, okay, fine, product says I have AI. Yes, till now I thought it was mostly a, marketing pitch, but I see AI actually revolutionizing the marketing industry, which is a highly creative industry, by the way, right? So marketing, let's say I write articles, I write copy, I write whatever. It's a highly creative endeavor, but AI has actually revolutionized that. I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of content creators are going to be rendered mostly useless because of AI, because the tools that you have for content creation AI today is phenomenal. And I see that also making its baby steps into other areas, right? For instance, GitHub Copilot, it's already made its way into code, and I'm sure it's going to make its way, not GitHub Copilot, but something else will make its way, I think, into security as well. So I think there is this, and of course, there will be that balancing act. It's not going to be that AI is going to be perfect. It's not. It's by no means perfect. But I think it's going to make a serious dent, at least in the next 3 years, in terms of how security activities, and certainly some of the mundane security activities, are going to be, probably AI-ized, sort of thing. So I think these two trends I see
All right. Thank you.
happening.
Thank you for sharing that insights on the latest trends with us. So with that, I have like the last question of this episode. That is, what is your advice for people starting out in the security industry and for people who are already in the industry?
Okay, so yeah, this is a two-part question, I think. So starting out in the industry, I would say, first of all, don't think too much, just start, right? A lot of people overthink, especially in our country. We love to hear everybody else's advice, and we like to take parents, grandparents, some distant third cousins, fourth relative. We take all their advice and we crystallize it, and we go into this analysis paralysis syndrome. I think, like I said, information security is a space where you are going to have a hard career. And movement within lateral movement, a lot of attackers, when you're talking about pen testing and red teaming, you think about a lateral movement. But in information security as a career, also lateral movement is possible. You can start off as, a SOC analyst, and you can become a red teamer, you can become a cloud security engineer. There are lots of lateral movements that are possible. So don't think too much about it. Get started. But the caveat here is go deep into whatever you're doing. Don't just scratch the surface. Get hands-on, get deep, get to truly understand what you're doing, because you are only going to be as valuable as the problems you solve. So try and solve difficult problems. Try and understand things at that depth. So this is for people who are, I think, starting off in security. Now, people who are already in security. Now, a lot of people who are in security have this, I feel, again, some of the advice that for people who are even starting out, I would give to people who are already in it. Because a lot of people who are in it are in a rut also, right? A lot of people, they might have their thing figured out, but a lot of people are in a rut. And for those people, again, look at these trends like cloud-aligned, cloud-native, whatever, security. And again, get hands-on. Don't be comfortable in just saying, hey, you know what, I don't do this operational stuff anymore. I don't do this stuff anymore. Why should I do it? I'm managing a team of people. Yes, you may be, but at the end of the day, in security, you're always going to be managing more and more technical teams, which means that you should know these things well. So even if you are somebody who's in management, even a senior security management, I recommend you get hands-on skills in these upcoming emerging areas, because these things are important. Your teams are going to be grappling with this soon, or already grappling with it. You may not even know about it. So definitely take that into account. Get deep into those areas of focus.
All right. Thank you so much for that, lovely advice for people starting out and in the industry. And thank you so much for taking time to, come here and share your experience and your journey on this podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was really nice to be a part of it.
Well, we've come to the end of the episode one of season two. I hope you enjoyed learning about Abhay's journey. In case you want to reach out to him, you can find him on Twitter and LinkedIn. I have shared his details in the episode description. Stay tuned for our next guest. Until then, stay safe and take care.